Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I wanted to welcome everyone to another night of our program here, where we recite and reflect upon the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As always, I wanted to start off by acknowledging and encouraging each and every single person to go to hhrd.org. Helping Hand for Relief and Development, our partners in this program, are doing remarkable work during the blessed month of Ramadan, as they have been even prior to the month of Ramadan, helping our brothers and sisters who are suffering all around the world, who don't have enough food to eat, who don't have clothes to cover them, who don't have a shelter over their heads, and they are taking care of them. And during this blessed month, they are continuing to exert even more efforts in taking care of our brothers and sisters. And particularly during this time of crisis, they have gone even further in making sure that the needs of our brothers and sisters are being met all around the world. So please go to hhrd.org and support their efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. May Allah accept from them. And may Allah allow us to be a part of the good that they are doing. Secondly, today I wanted to introduce you, inshallah, to our reciter. We have with us, mashallah, Hafiz Bilal Hassan, who is, like myself, a local resident here of Dallas, Texas, mashallah. Hafiz Bilal is, as I've mentioned already, mashallah, Hafiz of the Quran. He's been leading Tarawih here for a number of years, most recently at the Islamic Center of South Lake, inshallah, one of our very beloved communities here in the Dallas area. And he is a student, a dedicated, committed student at the Qalam Seminary, mashallah. He's a year two student. So he's going to be reciting for us tonight the 12th Juz of the Quran, inshallah, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So these students that you hear, if you've been tuning in on a regular basis or you're just joining us tonight, we welcome you to the program. But one thing I wanted to mention very specifically is that, mashallah, these students that you get to hear the beautiful recitation from, they are all students of knowledge studying at Qalam. And mashallah, doing amazing things in the community. This is a work that Qalam is committed to, the work of Islamic education. And we're providing and bringing that Islamic education to you in your homes during this very difficult time. Please go to supportqalam.com, support our efforts, and so that we can continue to educate you, your family, your communities, and inshallah, Muslims and people all around the world about the beautiful deen of Islam. With that being said, inshallah, we will dispel with the formalities and we will jump right into the recitation and the reflection upon the 12th juz of the Quran. Before we start, I wanted to give a couple of quick notes. Number one is that we're going to be starting a little bit prior to the 12th juz of the Quran. We're going to be starting just five verses earlier at the last half page of the 11th juz, where we have the start of the 11th surah of the Quran, Surah Hud. Now, Surah Hud, the entirety of the 12th juz contains 170 verses, 170 ayat. Out of that, we're going to be starting five verses a little bit early, but Surah Hud contains 123 verses, and then we will recite about the first half of Surat Yusuf, which is about 52 verses, 52 ayat, inshallah, bi'inillahi ta'ala. So we'll be starting with the beginning of Surah Hud. Surah Hud is a very remarkable surah of the Quran that was revealed upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during maybe one of the most difficult times of his life. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had lost his beloved wife, the mother of the believers, the mother of his children, his best friend, the first one to believe and support his message, Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha. She passed away and it was heartbreaking for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to lose her. And 3 weeks after she passed away, his beloved uncle Abu Talib passed away, who did not accept Islam, but defended the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He helped raise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the age of 8 and took care of him as his guardian. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proclaimed his message, while many of the family members like Abu Lahab opposed the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Talib continued to support him even though he did not believe in the message. And 3 weeks after Khadija, Abu Talib passed away. And this was very tragic for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tragedy upon tragedy. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very taken aback by this tragedy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a consequence of Abu Talib being out of the picture, the leadership of Makkah, the Quraysh, the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ramped up their efforts against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they started coming after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even physically, and started torturing and oppressing the believers relentlessly. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Hud to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to provide him comfort and consolation and strength and conviction. That worry not, you do your message, you take care of your job, you continue to deliver your message, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has your back, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of you. Either these people will believe, or if they do not believe, may Allah protect us all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgment and his punishment is very swift and very severe. So that is the message of Surah Hud, and Allah will tell us about many of the nations of the past, as we will see as we read through the surah. On the very first page and a half that we will read of the surah, there are two quick points I wanted to make here. First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the very beginning of the 12th juz, at the top of the page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There's not a single creature in existence, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility of providing for and feeding that creature. Allah will take care of us all. Allah will feed us all. That is not our job, to worry about how we are going to get fed. What our job is, Allah says, لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. To see who will do the best deeds. Let Allah do his job that he has taken upon himself to feed us. And let us do our job of serving our Creator and living our lives in the most excellent manner possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Please, Bilal, begin.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. ألف لام را كتاب أحكمت آياته ثم فصلت من لدن حكيم خبير ألا تعبدوا إلا الله إنني لكم منه نذير وبشير وأن استغفروا ربكم ثم توبوا إليه يمتعكم متاعا حسنا إلى أجل مسمى ويؤتي كل ذي فضل فضله وإن تولوا فإني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم كبير إلى الله مرجعكم وهو على كل شيء قدير ألا إنهم يثنون صدورهم ليستخفوا منه ألا حين يستغشون ثيابهم يعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون إنه عليم بذات الصدور وما من دابة في الأرض إلا على الله رزقها ويعلم مستقرها ومستودعها كل في كتاب مبين وهو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام وكان عرشه على الماء ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا ولئن قلت إنكم مبعوثون من بعد الموت ليقولن الذين كفروا إن هذا إلا سحر مبين ولئن أخرنا عنهم العذاب إلى أمة معدودة ليقولن ما يحبسه ألا يوم يأتيهم ليس مصروفا عنهم وحاق بهم ما كانوا به يستهزئون ولئن أذقنا الإنسان منا رحمة ثم نزعناها منه إنه ليئوس كفور ولئن أذقناه نعماء بعد ضراء مسته ليقولن ذهب السيئات عني إنه لفرح فخور إلا الذين صبروا وعملوا الصالحات أولئك لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير فلعلك تارك بعض ما يوحى إليك وضائق به صدرك أن يقولوا لولا أنزل عليه كنز أو جاء معه ملك إنما أنت نذير والله على كل شيء وكيل.
In the next page, in verses number 15 and 16, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about something very remarkable and very profound. There are many people who do good things, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that if our focus in doing good is not the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to earn the pleasure and the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the reward from Allah, but rather our goal and objective in everything we do in the life of this world is to just gain more material things of the life of this world. That's the sole focus and the objective that we live with, that we conduct ourselves with. Every single decision we make is just motivated by dunya, by the material things of the life of this world. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if all you want is the vanity of the life of this world, then guess what? We will give you the full reward of every single good thing that you have done in this life. We'll give it to you, but we'll give it to you here in the life of this world. And no one will be cheated in the least bit. Why? Because Allah is adil. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Allah is just. Allah does not wrong anyone. But if the intention is not pure, then you'll get the return on your investment here in the life of this world. But what's going to be the reality in the life of the hereafter? Allah says that those people, for them in the life of the hereafter, there will be nothing waiting for them except the fire of hell. May Allah protect us all. Mm-hmm. Everything good that they did in the life of this world will be wasted, and none of it will mean anything in the life of this world. None of it will mean anything at all in the life of the hereafter, for it will all be given to them in the life of this dunya, the life of this world. It's a reminder to us to check our intentions, to be sincere, to always keep the goal of the akhirah, the life of the hereafter, in the pleasure of our Lord in front of us, no matter how humble the deed may be. But if it has sincerity behind it, it is a very powerful deed. And no matter how grandiose the gesture may be, but if the objective behind that grand gesture is just attainment of more things in the life of this world, then it will mean nothing in the life of the hereafter.
أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَاهُ قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُوَرٍ مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرَيَاتٍ وَادْعُوا مَنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكُمْ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أُنْزِلَ بِعِلْمِ اللَّهِ وَأَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مسلمون. من كان يريد الحياة الدنيا وزينتها نوفي إليهم أعمالهم فيها وهم فيها لا يبخسون. أولئك الذين ليس لهم في الآخرة إلا النار وحبط ما صنعوا فيها وباطل. وباطل ما كانوا يعملون أفمن كان على بينة من ربه ويتلوه شاهد منه ومن قبله كتاب موسى إماما ورحمة أولئك يؤمنون به ومن يكفر به من الأحزاب فالنار موعده فلا تك في مرية منه إنه الحق من ربك ولكن أكثر الناس لا يؤمنون ومن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا أولئك يعرضون على ربهم ويقول الأشهاد هؤلاء الذين كذبوا على ربهم ألا لعنة الله على الظالمين الذين يصدون عن سبيل الله ويبغونها عوجا وهم بالآخرة هم كافرون.
As we've been going through the entirety of the Quran, juz by juz, going through the message of the Quran, there's this constant emphasis on doing good, doing righteous deeds. We just talked about it a page ago, two pages ago. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the next page in verse number 23, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there is something very important that must be kept in mind by the believers when they do their good and righteous deeds. And that is to never become arrogant, never to start to feel proud or to feel as if they have achieved and accomplished something huge, and never to develop this delusion that somehow the good that they do protects them from anything and everything, and that they are righteous at a level where they have become untouchable. Kind of the idea that we often refer to this as self-righteousness. Do good. Believe in Allah, do good, but never become self-righteous. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the people of paradise who will reside therein for all of eternity will be the people who believed, they did good deeds, but they always remained humble before their Lord, submitted before Allah. No matter how much good I do, it is in service of my Creator, and I humble myself before my Creator.
أولئك لم يكونوا معجزين في الأرض وما كان لهم من دون الله من أولياء يضاعف لهم العذاب ما كانوا يستطيعون السمع وما كانوا يبصرون أولئك الذين خسروا أنفسهم وضل عنهم ما كانوا يفترون لا جرم أنهم في الآخرة هم الأخسرون إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وأخبتوا إلى ربهم أولئك أصحاب الجنة هم فيها خالدون مثل الفريقين كالأعمى والأصم والبصير والسميع هل يستويان مثلا أفلا تذكرون ولقد أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه إني لكم نذير مبين ألا تعبدوا إلا الله إني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم أليم فقال الملأ الذين كفروا من قومه ما نراك إلا بشرا مثلنا وما نراك اتبعك إلا الذين هم أراذلنا بادي الرأي وما نرى لكم علينا من فضل بل نظنكم كاذبين قال يا قوم أرأيتم إن كنت على بينة من ربي وآتاني رحمة من عنده فعميت عليكم أنلزمكموها وأنتم لها كارهون.
On the previous page, and continuing on to the next page that we're going to read and study here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, and being sent to his people with the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and preaching and calling his people, and them refusing and resisting the message. This is the most extensive story of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam that is mentioned throughout the entire Qur'an. And this is the first of the multiple stories of the previous prophets that Allah will tell us here in this surah, Surah Hud. One particular point that is stated here in the story of Nuh alayhi salam and stated in the stories of subsequent prophets is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that whenever the prophets would come and preach to their people and they would call their people to the message of Allah, and there would be some who believed. Some narrations mention that only in 950 years, only 80 some odd people believed in the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. That some of the elite people of the society and the, you know, the heads of their tribes and communities, what they would say to the prophets is, مَا نَرَاكَ تَبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّأِي. That from our point of view, from where we're standing, everyone who follows you are lowly people. These are the riffraff of society. They're not, you know, super educated or super intelligent or wealthy or powerful or famous people. And so we cannot align ourselves with these lowly kinds of people. And it is this arrogance that doomed them every single time. And it was no different at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, where Abu Jahl and people of his ilk, they had the same problem that we can't stand side by side with Ammar and Suhaib and Bilal. We can't be along with these people. It's not reasonable for you to ask us that. But that was their arrogance that ultimately doomed them. And we always need to check our arrogance, and we need to always remain humility and never think that we are above anyone. We are better than anyone. And we are most definitely not above and beyond being with the ummah, being with the community. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to always be mindful and careful about this kind of arrogant attitude.
وَيَا قَوْمِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مَالًا إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا بِطَارِدِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ وَلَكِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ قَوْمًا تَجْهَلُونَ وَيَا قَوْمِ مَنْ يَنْصُرُنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنْ طَرَدْتُهُمْ أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ ولا أقول لكم عندي خزائن الله ولا أعلم الغيب ولا أقول إني ملك ولا أقول للذين تزدري أعينكم لن يؤتيهم الله خيرا الله أعلم بما في أنفسهم إني إذا لمن الظالمين قالوا يا نوح قد جادلتنا فأكثرت جدالنا فأتنا بما تعدنا إن كنت من الصادقين قال إنما يأتيكم به الله إن شاء وما أنتم بمعجزين ولا ينفعكم نصحي إن أردت أن أنصح لكم إن كان الله يريد أن يغويكم وربكم وإليه ترجعون أم يقولون افتراه قل إن افتريته فعلي إجرامي وأنا بريء ما تجرمون وأوحي إلى نوح أنه لن يؤمن من قومك إلا من قد آمن فلا تبتئس بما كانوا يفعلون واصنع الفلك بأعيننا ووحينا ولا تخاطبني في الذين ظلموا إنهم مغرقون.
On the next page, which continues the story of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about something very powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Nuh alayhi salam and his son, the son of the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the son of Nuh alayhi salam did not accept this message, and he did not believe in the message that Nuh alayhi salam had been sent with. He did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When ultimately the time came, Allah had commanded Nuh alayhi salam to construct an ark, to build a ship. And then the time came where the believers were commanded by Nuh alayhi salam to board the ship. And then the water came out from the earth, and the water descended down from the sky, and the entire earth started to be flooded, and the ship started to float, protecting all the believers and Nuh alayhi salam therein. Nuh alayhi salam sees his son, and he tells his son that, believe, you still have time, join us on the ship. And he says, no, I will climb the highest mountain and I'll be protected from the water there. He begs his son that, please listen, believe, no one can protect you except from Allah. And then finally a huge wave comes crashing in, and he ends up drowning in the flood. And at the end of that, Nuh alayhi salam turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, Ya Rab, O Allah, you said that you would protect me and my family and the believers. My son was part of my family. I seek your wisdom. Why did this happen with my son? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to him that while he might have been born into your family, but he did not believe. And that we've talked constantly, it's come up multiple times about relationships and family relationships and how important they are. And indeed, they are important and we are to honor family relationships. But they ultimately, if they are not reconciled with iman, that the bond that is even deeper than the bond of blood is the bond of faith and belief in iman. And if that faith in iman is not there, the blood relationships will remain in this world, but they will not translate over to the life of the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the son of the great prophet Nuh alayhi salam a very powerful reminder and a very powerful example about this, that if I have a Muslim name, my father was Muslim, my grandfather was Muslim, my great-grandfather was Muslim, that's fine and dandy, but it is my responsibility to take ownership of my religion, my faith. I need to believe, I need to read this Quran, I need to pray, and I need to have my own relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I cannot simply just hang my hat on the fact that I come from a Muslim family, because that is not going to guarantee salvation.
وَيَصْنَعُ الْفُلْكَ وَكُلَّمَا مَرَّ عَلَيْهِ مَلَأٌ مِّن قَوْمِهِ سَخِرُوا مِنْهُ قَالَ إِن تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُ مِنكُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ مَن يَأْتِيهِ عَذَابٌ يُخْزِيهِ وَيَحِلُّ عَلَيْهِ عَذَابٌ مُقِيمٌ حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا وَفَارَ النُّورُ قُلْنَا احْمِلْ فِيهَا مِن كُلٍّ زوجين اثنين وأهلك إلا من سبق عليه القول ومن آمن وما آمن معه إلا قليل وقال اركبوا فيها بسم الله مجريها ومرساها إن ربي لغفور رحيم وهي تجري بهم في موج كالجبال ونادى نوح ابنه وكان في معزل يا بني اركب معنا ولا تكن مع الكافرين قال سآوي إلى جبل يعصمني من الماء قال لا عاصم اليوم من أمر الله إلا من رحم وحال بينهما الموج فكان من المغرقين وقيل يا أرض ابلعي ماءك ويا سماء أقلعي وغيض الماء وقضي الأمر واستوت على الجودي وقيل بعدا للقوم الظالمين ونادى نوح ربه فقال رب إن ابني من أهلي وإن وعدك الحق وأنت أحكم الحاكمين.
On the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, because we're going to be reading so many of the stories of the prophets of the past revealed here in the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that this is part of the miraculousness of the Qur'an. This is part of the miracle of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تِلْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهَا إِلَيْكَ. That these are stories of the unknown. Nobody had record of these things, and nobody could possess the detailed knowledge of all of these things. This is knowledge that we have inspired to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the form of the Qur'an. مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ. You did not know these stories before the Qur'an came down. Your people that oppose you did not know these stories before the Qur'an was sent down to you. مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا فَصْبِرْ. So have faith. Know that this is the ultimate truth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remain steadfast upon your message, and remain strong in the face of difficulty and adversity, rejection and denial. إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The end result will be in favor of those who remain committed and conscious to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
قال يا نوح إنه ليس من أهلك إنه عمل غير صالح فلا تسألني ما ليس لك به علم إني أعظك أن تكون من الجاهلين. قال رب إني أعوذ بك أن أسألك ما ليس لي به علم، وإلا تغفر لي وترحمني أكن من الخاسرين. قيل يا نوح اهبط بسلام منا وبركات عليك وعلى أمم ممن معك، وأمم سنمتعهم ثم يمسهم منا عذاب أليم. تلك من أنباء الغيب نوحيها إليك، ما كنت تعلمها أنت ولا قومك من قبل هذا، فاصبر إن العاقبة للمتقين. وإلى عاد أخاهم هودا، قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره، إن أنتم إلا مفترون. يا قوم لا أسألكم عليه أجرا، إن أجري إلا على الذي فطرني، أفلا تعقلون. ويا قوم استغفروا ربكم ثم توبوا إليه، يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا ويزد لكم قوة إلى قوتكم ولا تتولوا مجرمين. قالوا يا هود ما جئتنا ببينة وما نحن بتاركي آلهتنا عن قولك وما نحن لك بمؤمنين.
Starting on the page that we just completed and going on into the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story of another prophet, the prophet Hud alayhi salam, the one after whom the surah is named. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story of Prophet Hud and how he was sent to his people, the people of Ad. The characteristic of the people of Ad was that they did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, they had been gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with great, profound strength. They were huge people, giant people with remarkable strength. And they were very arrogant because of the strength and refused to believe. And Hud alayhi salam came to them with the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they remained in denial. They remained persistent in denying and refusing to believe in the Prophet Hud alayhi salam and in the message he came with from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's one constant theme throughout all these different surahs. All these people who oppose their prophets and refuse to believe, but however, each and every single one of the prophets continued to tell them one thing, that Allah has not shut the door on you yet. That until the moment that you leave and depart from this world, up until that moment, the door is still open for you to repent, for you to make good with God, for you to make peace with your Creator, for you to reconcile with your Lord, and to once again come into the good graces of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All you need to do is repent. All you need to do is seek forgiveness and repent, and Allah will bless you in this life, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the eternal blessings of the life of the hereafter. But unfortunately and tragically, that was the mistake that was made, that they refused to relent and they continued to oppose and oppress. And that is a profound message for each and every single one of us. All of us are human, and to err is human. We all make mistakes. But however, no matter how many mistakes we've made, no matter how long it's been, the door is still open for us. There's still an opportunity for us to seek forgiveness of Allah and to repent and to reconcile with Allah. This night of Ramadan, this evening, this night, tonight, right here, needs to be a new beginning for all of us. We need to turn the page. We need to all repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah for forgiveness for the wrong that we've committed and to live a noble life of commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going forward from here today.
إن نقول إلا اعتراك بعض آلهتنا بسوء. قال إني أشهد الله واشهدوا أني بريء مما تشركون. من دونه فكيدوني جميعا ثم لا تنظرون. إني توكلت على الله ربي وربكم، ما من دابة دابة إلا هو آخذ بناصيتها إن ربي على صراط مستقيم فإن تولوا فقد أبلغتكم ما أرسلت به إليكم ويستخلف ربي قوما غيركم ولا تضرونه شيئا إن ربي على كل شيء حفيظ ولما جاء أمرنا نجينا هودا والذين آمنوا معه برحمة منا ونجيناهم من عذاب غليظ وتلك عاد جحدوا بآيات ربهم وعصوا رسله واتبعوا أمر كل جبار عنيد وأتبعوا في هذه الدنيا لعنة ويوم القيامة ألا إن عادا كفروا ربهم ألا بعدا لعاد قوم هود وإلى ثمود أخاهم صالحا قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره وأنشأكم من الأرض واستعمركم فيها فاستغفروه ثم توبوا إليه إن ربي قريب مجيب قالوا يا صالح قد كنت فينا مرجوا قبل هذا أتنهانا أن نعبد ما يعبد آباؤنا وإننا لفي شك مما تدعونا إليه مريب.
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the previous page that we just concluded, at the end of the page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts telling us about the next story of a prophet of the past. And that is the prophet Salih alayhi salam, who was sent to the people of Thamud. Now, their story is a very extensive narrative and story. We don't have the time to get into all the details. But nonetheless, they were also a people who did not believe in Allah. However, they were blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with great skill and ability. They lived in a valley where their homes would constantly get destroyed by the weather and the harsh winds and the rain and the seasons. And so Allah granted them the remarkable ability to be able to carve out their homes within the mountains. And in spite of this gift and this ability, they still did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of their own community members, who was a prophet of God, Salih alayhi salam, he pleaded with them to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They demanded that a miracle be provided. And so they asked for a she-camel to emerge from the mountain. He prayed to Allah and that she-camel did emerge. Then they said that we want to make sure that this is real. It should give birth. And it gave birth to an offspring and a baby camel. And then they were told, do not touch this camel, do not mess with it, because it is the camel provided as a miracle from God. But however, their wretchedness got the best of them, and a group of them ended up killing the camel, and the rest of them approved of it, and that led to their doom and destruction. Something that fascinates me within the study of the Quran is when Allah tells us stories of the past, and they intersect with the life of the Prophet ﷺ. On the journey of Tabuk, the expedition of Tabuk, the final military expedition of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, when he traveled far north to the region of Tabuk, the Prophet ﷺ passed by the ruins of Thamud, known as Mada'in Salih today. He passed by there, and the Sahaba, they witnessed that place, and the Prophet ﷺ covered his face, and he told them, ride by here quickly, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from his wrath and his anger. So there's this very real interaction that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had with the ruins of the people of Thamud, and seeing from a distance that place where such a terrible wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended. Let us heed that warning and learn a message from this, and always remain faithful and committed and devout and humble before our Lord.
قال يا قوم أرأيتم إن كنت على بينة من ربي وآتاني منه رحمة فمن ينصرني من الله إن عصيته فما تزيدونني غير تخسير ويا قوم هذه ناقة الله لكم آية فذروها تأكل في أرض الله ولا تمسوها بسوء فيأخذكم عذاب قريب فعقروها فقال تمتعوا في داركم ثلاثة أيام ذلك وعد غير مكذوب فلما جاء أمرنا نجد نجينا صالحا والذين آمنوا معه برحمة منا ومن خزي يومئذ إن ربك هو القوي العزيز وأخذ الذين ظلموا الصيحة فأصبحوا في ديارهم جاثمين كأن لم يغنوا فيها ألا إن ثمود كفروا ربهم ألا بعدا لثمود ولقد جاءت رسلنا إبراهيم بالبشرى قالوا سلاما قال سلام فما لبث أن جاء بعجل حنيذ فلما رأى أيديهم لا تصل إليه نكرهم وأوجس منهم خيفة قالوا لا تخف إنا أرسلنا إلى قوم لوط وامرأته قائمة فضحكت فبشرناها بإسحاق ومن وراء إسحاق يعقوب.
On this page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and continuing on into the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts to tell us a brief account from the life of the Prophet, the great Prophet of God, Ibrahim alayhi salam, and his wife, Sarah, salamun alayha. And the nephew of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was Lut alayhi salam, the Prophet Lut, who lived in a region not far from Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he was sent there to preach to a group of people that once again did not believe in Allah, and furthermore, they engaged in the deviation from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fitrah Allah created people with, and the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that marriage is between a man and a woman, and they engaged in same-sex and same-gender relationships, and that was their crime, along with not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was sent there to preach to them and talk to them and give them the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to tell them to repent from their ways. The angels, as they are on their way to provide support to the Prophet Lut alayhi salam, because he is being opposed and even oppressed and threatened by his people, they stop at the home, at the residence of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. There, Ibrahim alayhi salam assumes that these are guests, and he tells his wife to go and prepare food for them. When they bring the food, they say, no, we don't eat. Ibrahim alayhi salam finds it strange. Travelers and guests are not eating food. And that's when they disclose the fact that we are actually angels of God. And at that time, Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife Sarah were not given any children. They had no children. And so they long for children. Sarah longs for a child, and they give the good news, even though Ibrahim alayhi salam is very, very elderly now. His wife is very, very elderly, but they give them the good news that you will be having a child. At that time, she's shocked. That she says, "Inna hadha la shay'un ajib," right? How is it possible that my husband is old and I am elderly and we will still have children? And a very powerful statement is that the angels say, "Ata'jamina min amrillah," why do you find it so strange if God has given the command? Rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahlul bayt. The mercy and the blessings of Allah are upon you, O household of the Prophet of God. Innahu hamidun majid. God is worthy of all praise and worthy of all glory. That never be shocked and amazed by anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. Everything and anything is possible for Allah. Miracles absolutely do happen, and they happen by the will and the decree of Allah. We always maintain our belief, and we always maintain hope in the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
قالت يا ويلتى ألد وأنا عجوز وهذا بعلي شيخا إن هذا لشيء عجيب قالوا أتعجبين من أمر الله رحمة الله وبركاته عليكم أهل البيت إنه حميد مجيد فلما ذهب عن إبراهيم الروع وجاءته البشرى يجادلنا في قوم لوط إن إبراهيم لحليم أواه منيب يا إبراهيم أعرض عن هذا إنه قد جاء أمر ربك وإنهم آتيهم عذاب غير مردود ولما جاءت رسلنا لوطا سيئ بهم وضاق بهم ذرعا وقال هذا يوم عصيب وجاءه قومه يهرعون إليه ومن قبل كانوا يعملون السيئات قال يا قوم هؤلاء بناتي هن أطهر لكم فاتقوا الله ولا تخزون في ضيفي أليس منكم رجل رشيد قالوا لقد علمت ما لنا في بناتك من حق وإنك لتعلم ما نريد قال لو أن لي بكم قوة أو آوي إلى ركن شديد قالوا يا لوط إنا رسل ربك لن يصلوا إليك فأسر بأهلك بقطع من الليل ولا يلتفت منكم أحد إلا امرأتك إنه مصيبها ما أصابهم إن موعدهم الصبح أليس الصبح بقريب.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, who was sent to the people of Madian. Once again, they did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he called them to believe in Allah. Secondly, the issue that plagued those particular people, and one of the things that they found not palatable within the message that the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam was calling them to, was that they engaged in extremely unethical, dishonest business practices. They lied, they cheated, they swindled when doing business. And this was something that they were forbidden from. وَلَا تَنْقُسُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانَ Don't cheat in business. أَوْفُ الْمِكْيَالَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ Do business ethically and honestly and decently and properly. وَلَا تَبْخَسُ النَّاسَ أَشْيَاءَهُمْ Do not cheat people in their wealth. This is something very dangerous and very problematic. It is dishonest. It is lying, it is illegal, and not only that, but Allah says, وَلَا تَعْثَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ Eventually, this erodes the moral fabric and foundation of the society, and chaos and lawlessness becomes rampant within a land where people become accustomed to the idea of lying and cheating. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. This is a very important teaching of the Quran and teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to always remain honest and decent and have integrity and morality and ethics in our business dealings and transactions. It is a sign of faith and it is a sign of commitment to the truth.
فلما جاء أمرنا جعلنا عاليها سافلها وأمطرنا عليها حجارة من سجيل منضود مسومة عند ربك وما هي من الظالمين ببعيد وإلى مدين أخاهم شعيبا قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره ولا تنقصوا المكيال والميزان إني أراكم بخير وإني أخاف عليكم عذاب يوم محيط ويا قوم أوفوا المكيال والميزان بالقسط ولا تبخسوا الناس أشياءهم ولا تعثوا في الأرض مفسدين بقية الله خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين وما أنا عليكم بحفيظ قالوا يا شعيب أصلاتك تأمرك أن نترك ما يعبد آباؤنا أو أن نفعل في أموالنا ما نشاء إنك لأنت الحليم الرشيد قال يا قوم أرأيتم إن كنت على بينة من ربي ورزقني منه رزقا حسنا وما أريد أن أخالفكم إلى ما أنهاكم عنه إن أريد إلا الإصلاح ما استطعت وما توفيقي إلا بالله عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to tell us about the story of the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam. And once again, I'd like to reiterate a point that was made earlier, because when reading a surah, that speaks repeatedly about the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it can be a bit overwhelming. But it's important to understand the message that Allah repeatedly also gives us in this surah, and that is, وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. You can always seek forgiveness and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as you're alive, it's not too late. You just have to seize the opportunity. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about two very beautiful attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, names of Allah. Inna Rabbi, indeed my Lord is Rahimun, constantly merciful, very merciful and compassionate. And then the second name is Wadud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is extremely loving. Allah is very caring and very loving. Allah loves His creation and He wants success and salvation for us. He does not want to see us burn. He does not want to see us doomed. He does not want to destroy us. But we need to seek out the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah reminds us here once again, ask Allah for forgiveness, repent to Allah, because there's one guarantee. You are repenting and seeking forgiveness from someone who guarantees that He is merciful and loving, and He will accept your He will grant you forgiveness, and He will accept your repentance. You just need to turn to Him.
ويا قوم لا يجرمنكم شقاقي أن يصيبكم مثل ما أصاب قوم نوح أو قوم هود أو قوم صالح وما قوم لوط منكم ببعيد واستغفروا ربكم ثم توبوا إليه إن ربي رحيم ودود قالوا يا شعيب ما نفقه كثيرا مما تقول وإنا لنراك فينا ضعيفا ولولا رهطك لرجمناك وما أنت علينا بعزيز قال يا قوم أرهطي أعز عليكم من الله واتخذتموه وراءكم ظهريا إن ربي بما تعملون محيط ويا قوم اعملوا على مكانتكم إني عامل سوف تعلمون من يأتيه عذاب يخزيه ومن هو كاذب وارتقبوا إني معكم رقيب ولما جاء أمرنا نجينا شعيبا والذين آمنوا معه برحمة منا وأخذت الذين ظلموا الصيحة فأصبحوا في ديارهم جاثمين كأن لم يغنوا فيها ألا بعدا لمدين كما بعدت ثمود ولقد أرسلنا موسى بآياتنا وسلطان مبين إلى فرعون وملئه فاتبعوا أمر فرعون وما أمر فرعون برشيد.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the people who are doomed to hell and the people who are blessed with admission and entrance into paradise. And it's a very powerful, beautiful description that really stands out as a very unique way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states this in the entirety of the Quran. In verses 106, 107, and 108 of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that as for those who are wretched, who doomed their own souls by refusing the message, فَفِنْ نَارِ لَهُمْ فِيهَا زَفِيرٌ وَشَهِيقٌ, that they will be in the fire of hell. And the fire of hell, Allah describes it as a hungry beast that will growl and snarl and devour the people within hell. May Allah protect us all. That they will be therein for all of eternity, as long as the heavens and the earth are in existence, except what your Lord wills and wishes. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ, your Lord can indeed do whatsoever He wills. And then Allah tells us about the people who will receive salvation and bliss and happiness for all of eternity. And as for those people who were blessed, who are fortunate, because they embraced the message, they followed the message, and because of that, they ended up being blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be in the gardens of paradise for all of eternity, as long as the heavens and the earth remain, except by the will of your Lord. And this is a blessing that will never end. عَطَاءً غَيْرَ مَجَدُوذ, the blessing of paradise will never ever come to an end. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. Amen.
يقدم قومه يوم القيامة فأوردهم النار وبئس الورد المورود وأتبعوا في هذه لعنة ويوم القيامة بئس الرفد المرفود ذلك من أنباء القرى نقصه عليك منها قائم وحصيد وما ظلمناهم ولكن ظلموا أنفسهم فما أغنت عنهم آلهتهم التي يدعون من دون الله من شيء لما جاء أمر ربك وما زادوهم غير تتبيب وكذلك أخذ ربك إذا أخذ القرى وهي ظالمة إن أخذه أليم شديد إن في ذلك لآية لمن خاف عذاب الآخرة ذلك يوم مجموع له الناس وذلك يوم مشهود وما نؤخره إلا لأجل معدود يوم يأتي لا تكلم نفس إلا بإذنه فمنهم شقي وسعيد فأما الذين شقوا ففي النار لهم فيها زفير وشهيق خالدين فيها ما دامت السماوات والأرض إلا ما شاء ربك إن ربك فعال لما يريد وأما الذين سعدوا ففي الجنة خالدين فيها ما دامت السماوات والأرض إلا ما شاء ربك عطاء غير مجذوذ.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about an ayah of the Quran. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this was one of the heaviest verses of the Quran that was revealed upon him. And he actually, one time when just having light-hearted conversation with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he saw white hairs in the beard of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he says, Shibta ya Rasulullah, you're starting to look like an old man, O Messenger of God. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Shayyabatni Hud wa akhawatuha, Surah Hud and the similar surahs has caused me to age. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this is one of the heaviest verses that was revealed upon him, verse number 112, Fastaqim kama umirt. Not only do you have to do what you've been commanded by Allah, but you must remain steadfast and constant and continuous upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said that that is such a task and responsibility to remain constant and steadfast upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it weighs very heavily on me. And while it is a bit of a heavy thing to talk about, we all need to keep that in mind and we need to aspire to that goal. Let's come on to the obedience and the devotion to God, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then develop consistency and steadfastness to live a life of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فلا تك في مرية مما يعبد هؤلاء ما يعبدون إلا كما يعبد آباؤهم من قبل وإنا لموفوهم نصيبهم غير منقوص ولقد آتينا موسى الكتاب فاختلف فيه ولولا كلمة سبقت من ربك لقضي بينهم وإنهم لفي شك منه مريب وإن كلا لما ليوفينهم ربك أعمالهم إنه بما يعملون خبير فاستقم كما أمرت ومن تاب معك ولا تطغوا إنه بما تعملون بصير ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار وما لكم من دون الله وما لكم من دون الله من أولياء ثم لا تنصرون وأقم الصلاة طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات ذلك ذكرى للذاكرين واصبر فإن الله لا يضيع أجر المحسنين فلولا كان من القرون من قبلكم أولو بقية ينهون عن الفساد في الأرض إلا قليلا ممن أنجينا منهم واتبع الذين ظلموا ما أترفوا فيه وكانوا مجرمين وما كان ربك ليهلك القرى بظلم وأهلها مصلحون.
On the next page, we conclude Surah Hud and begin Surah Yusuf, the 12th surah of the Quran, which has 111 verses. And of course, the name tells you pretty much everything you need to know. It is a very famous surah of the Quran, which contains the entirety of the narrative of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. The story of Yusuf alayhi salam is very beautiful, as Allah says it himself, Ahsan al-Qasas. It is the most beautiful of stories. And it contains many, many layers of wisdom and many gems and lessons. Obviously, it's not possible for us to go through all of them. We will highlight a few of them as we go through the next few pages. However, at the conclusion of Surah Hud, the thing I'd like to point out here in verse number 120, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet that we just told you about half a dozen of the prophets of the past. And the reason why we tell you all these stories, وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فؤادك, to bring strength and conviction and resolve to your heart, that at times that you are experiencing great difficulty and great adversity, and you find yourself experiencing a lot of very difficult emotions, we tell you these stories of your brothers of the past, the prophets of Allah, so that you may find conviction and strength within their narratives and stories. And in this, there is truth, and there is an admonition, and there is a very powerful reminder for those who believe. So as we read these stories of the past, they are not just historical accounts. They are not for the purposes of entertainment. These are stories for reflection, so that we can learn a lesson from them, reflect upon the past, so we can make better decisions going into the future. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding of the Quran.
وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ وَلِذَلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقُّ وَمَوْعِظَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَقُلْ لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ اعْمَلُوا عَلَى مَكَانَتِكُمْ إِنَّا عَامِلُونَ وَانْتَظِرُوا إِنَّا مُنْتَظِرُونَ وَلِلَّهِ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِلَيْهِ يُرْجَعُ الْأَمْرُ كُلُّهُ فَاعْبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام را تلك آيات الكتاب المبين إنا أنزلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن وإن كنت من قبله لمن الغافلين إذ قال يوسف لأبيه يا أبت إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to tell us, of course, the story of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. And the thing I wanted to take the opportunity to state here is that one of the morals of the story of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in this particular surah, and that is the idea and the value of remaining conscious of your Lord at all times and then being patient in the face of difficulty. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِي وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ Whoever will remain conscious of God and will remain committed to the truth and patient in the face of difficulty, then Allah does not reward, Allah does not waste the reward of those who excel in righteousness. So that is the moral of the story of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, always remaining committed to what's right and being patient in the face of great difficulty. As we read through the surah, keep that theme in mind.
قال يا بني لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الشيطان للإنسان عدو مبين وكذلك يجتبيك ربك ويعلمك من تأويل الأحاديث ويتم نعمته عليك وعلى آل يعقوب كما أتمها على أبويك من قبل إبراهيم وإسحاق إن ربك عليم حكيم لقد كان في يوسف وإخوته آيات للسائلين إذ قالوا ليوسف وأخوه أحب إلى أبينا منا ونحن عصبة إن أبانا لفي ضلال مبين اقتلوا يوسف أو اطرحوه أرضا يخل لكم وجه أبيكم وتكونوا من بعده قوما صالحين قال قائل منهم لا تقتلوا يوسف وألقوه في غيابة الجب يلتقطه بعض السيارة إن كنتم فاعلين قالوا يا أبانا ما لك لا تأمنا على يوسف وإنا له لناصحون أرسله معنا غدا يرتع ويلعب وإنا له لحافظون قال إني ليحزنني أن تذهبوا به وأخاف أن يأكله الذئب وأنتم عنه غافلون قالوا لئن أكله الذئب ونحن عصبة إنا إذا لخاسرون.
On the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the particular moment from the story of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, where unfortunately due to the jealousy of his brothers, they throw him in a well and he is then taken by some slave traders who find him there in that well as a child, as a young boy. And when his brothers go back and they lie to their father about Yusuf being devoured by a wolf, the father has just lost his son, his baby boy. And he's heartbroken at the loss of his son. And even in experiencing such a profound tragedy, the loss of a child, because he's a prophet of God, Yaqub alayhi salam, he teaches us something. He says, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ That beautiful patience. I will have beautiful patience in this tragedy and my Lord will reward me for it. And there's a profound lesson there. There is no greater loss anyone can suffer than the loss of a child. And even in the face of the loss of a child, he practices beautiful patience. And that tells you that it is possible to practice such beautiful patience. We just have to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, read these stories of the great prophets of the past, and then find the conviction to do so.
فلما ذهبوا به وأجمعوا أن يجعلوه في غيابة الجب وأوحينا إليه لتنبئنهم بأمرهم هذا وهم لا يشعرون وجاءوا أباهم عشاء يبكون قالوا يا أبانا إنا ذهبنا نستبق وتركنا يوسف عند متاعنا فأكله الذئب وما أنت بمؤمن لنا ولو كنا صادقين وجاءوا على قميصه بدم كذب قال بل سولت لكم أنفسكم أمرا فصبر جميل والله المستعان على ما تصفون وجاءت سيارة فأرسلوا والدهم فأدلى دلوه قال يا بشرى هذا غلام وأسروه بضاعة والله عليم بما يعملون وشروه بثمن بخس دراهم معدودة وكانوا فيه من الزاهدين وقال الذي اشتراه من مصر لامرأته أكرمي مثواه عسى أن ينفعنا أو نتخذه ولدا وكذلك مكنا ليوسف في الأرض ولنعلمه من تأويل الأحاديث والله غالب على أمره ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون ولما بلغ أشده آتيناه حكما وعلما وكذلك نجزي المحسنين.
On the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of the next event in the trials of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam and from the story of his life. And that is, as he matures into a man, he is tested with a very difficult moment. And that is that there is a very beautiful, prominent woman who is interested in committing fornication, a sin, with Yusuf alayhi salam. And she makes the arrangements so that they have privacy and that they will not be interrupted and that no one would physically be able to find them in that situation. No one will quote-unquote know about this. All the circumstances are there to engage in this sin. And at that particular time, Yusuf alayhi salam resists the temptation and the urge to engage in that sin by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala ma'adha Allah. He takes refuge with Allah. He remembers Allah. He connects to Allah in that moment of great temptation and great desire and great spiritual danger. He turns to Allah and connects to Allah, and that connection to Allah, that remembrance of Allah, that seeking refuge in Allah allows him to be able to resist such a temptation and be able to stay away from that very dangerous sin. And so there's a powerful reminder for all of us. Many of us find ourselves in situations and we feel weak and we feel like, oh, I had no choice. But if I may, very humbly, and I need this advice more than anyone, we always have a choice. And our choice is to turn to Allah in that time, to remember Allah, to think about Allah, to reflect upon Allah. And Allah will give us the strength to be able to stay away from evil and be able to stay upon the path of good and righteousness.
وراودته التي هو في بيتها عن نفسه وغلقت الأبواب وقالت هيت لك قال معاذ الله إنه ربي أحسن مثواي إنه لا يفلح الظالمون ولقد همت به وهم بها لولا أن رأى برهان ربه كذلك لنصرف عنه السوء والفحشاء إنه من عبادنا المخلصين واستبق الباب وقدت قميصه من دبر وألف يا سيدها لدى الباب قالت ما جزاء من أراد بأهلك سوءا إلا أن يسجن أو عذاب أليم قال هي راودتني عن نفسي وشهد شاهد من أهلها إن كان قميصه قد من قبل فصدقت وهو من الكاذبين وإن كان قميصه قد من دبر فكذبت وهو من الصادقين فلما رأى قميصه قد من دبر قال إنه من كيدكن إن كيدكن عظيم يوسف أعرض عن هذا واستغفري لذنبك إنك كنت من الخاطئين وقال نسوة في المدينة امرأة العزيز تراود فتاها عن نفسه قد شغفها حبا إنا لنراها في ضلال مبين.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the next episode in the journey of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. And that is that after he resists the temptation to engage in that sin, at that point in time, they create an even greater trap to try to trap him into the same sin of lust and desire. And they try to tempt him to fall into sin. And at that particular time, they threaten him with life in prison, locking him up and throwing away the key if he does not engage in this sin. And Yusuf alayhi salam shows us what resolve looks like. And sometimes when we choose right over wrong, we choose to do the right thing, the good thing, there will sometimes be very temporary only in the life of this world. There might be some consequences. There might be some complications, but that will test our resolve, and we can further elevate our status by remaining committed to doing what's right. Where Yusuf alayhi salam shows us exactly what that looks like, where he says, "Rabbi sijnu ahabbu ilayya mimma yad'unani ilayh." My Lord, I'd rather spend the rest of my days in prison than commit the sin that they're telling me to do. Because if I go to prison, I can still have your pleasure, Ya Rabb. But if I commit this sin, then you will be displeased with me. And there is no recourse for that. So let's always try to remember that. Doing the right thing is not always going to be the easy thing, but it will always be the best thing.
فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَأً وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ سِكِّينًا وَقَالَتْ اخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنَّ فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ وَقَطَّعْنَ أَيْدِيَهُنَّ وَقُلْنَ حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ قالت فذلكن الذي لمتنني فيه ولقد راودته عن نفسه فاستعصم ولئن لم يفعل ما آمره ليسجنن وليكون من الصاغرين قال رب السجن أحب إلي مما يدعونني إليه وإلا تصرف عني كيدهن أصب إليهن وأكن من الجاهلين فاستجاب له ربه فصرف عنه كيدهن إنه هو السميع العليم ثم بدا لهم من بعد ما رأوا الآيات ليسجننه حتى حين ودخل معه السجن فتيان قال أحدهما إني أراني أعصر خمرا وقال الآخر إني أراني أحمل فوق رأسي خبزا تأكل الطير منه نبئنا بتأويله إنا نراك من المحسنين قال لا يأتيكما طعام ترزقانه إلا نبأتكما بتأويله قبل أن يأتيكما ذلكما مما علمني ربي إني تركت ملة قوم لا يؤمنون بالله وهم بالآخرة هم كافرون.
In yet the next sequence of events, in the story and the journey of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about Yusuf alayhi salam's time in prison. He's in jail with criminals and all kinds of people. And the remarkable thing is that he's a prophet of God, calls people to Allah. Well, if he's in prison, what does he continue to do? He continues to do his job, right? As someone once said, do your job. So do your job. Do what you're supposed to do. He's in prison and he still calls people to Allah. أَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَارُ. These multiple gods and deities and false idols that you worship, is that better? Or to worship the one Allah who is one and who is mighty and powerful? Is it better to worship that one mighty, powerful creator? And so he calls them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a profound reminder in that, that we'll find ourselves in a lot of different situations and circumstances in life. Life will come at you fast and it'll come at you hard. And you'll find yourself in different situations. Look at the situation we're in. But no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we always remain committed to doing what we're supposed to do. And that is living a life of devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us the ability to do so.
واتبعت ملة آبائي إبراهيم وإسحاق ويعقوب ما كان لنا أن نشرك بالله من شيء ذلك من فضل الله علينا وعلى الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكرون يا صاحبي السجن أأرباب متفرقون خير أم الله الواحد القهار ما تعبدون من دونه إلا أسماء سميتموها أنتم وآباؤكم ما أنزل الله بها من سلطان إن الحكم إلا لله أمر أن لا تعبدوا إلا إياه ذلك الدين القيم ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون يا صاحبي السجن أما أحدكما فيسقي ربه خمرا وأما الآخر فيصلب فتأكل الطير من رأسه قضي الأمر الذي فيه تستفتيان وقال للذي ظن أنه ناج منهما اذكرني عند ربك فأنساه الشيطان ذكر ربه فلبث في السجن بضع سنين وقال الملك إني أرى سبع بقرات سمان يأكلهن سبع عجاف وسبع سنبلات خضر وأخرى يابسات يا أيها الملأ أفتوني في رؤياي إن كنتم للرؤيا تعبرون.
In the final page of the 12th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about when finally the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam was exonerated from any kind of wrongdoing. And it came to light that, and he was basically being released from prison. So when he was being released from prison, first and foremost, excuse me, I misspoke. When he was being released from prison at the behest of the king, because he was able to provide an interpretation for the dream of the king, Yusuf alayhi salam, and there's an authentic narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam in Sahih Bukhari, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam says, may God bless my brother Yusuf. That when he had the opportunity to leave prison, even though he was there wrongfully, he didn't do anything wrong. He was imprisoned wrongfully and oppressively. And he had the opportunity to leave the prison. He refused to do so until he would be exonerated from any kind of wrongdoing. And it would be proven and established that he was framed and he never did anything wrong and that he was being blackmailed and then they imprisoned him wrongly. And he said, I will not leave this prison. I don't care if the king comes and gets me. I will not leave this prison until my name is first cleared. And this tells you about the dignity of Yusuf alayhi salam and the importance of integrity. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam admired this. And he said, may God bless my brother Yusuf, for he had such great integrity and such decency. There's a very huge value that is placed upon integrity and decency within our deen and religion. Let's all of us try to live a life of dignity, of integrity, of honesty, and of decency. And we should never slander anyone. And when we are slandered, while we will remain patient and dignified, we will, however, always come forth with dignity and honor and integrity, and there is great virtue in these kinds of qualities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us them.
قالوا أضغاث أحلام وما نحن بتأويل الأحلام بعالمين وقال الذي نجا منهما وادكر بعد أمة أنا أنبئكم بتأويله فأرسلون يوسف أيها الصديق أفتنا في سبع بقرات سمان يأكلهن سبع عجاف وسبع سنبلات خضر وأخرى يابسات لعلي أرجع إلى الناس لعلهم يعلمون قال تزرعون سبع سنين دأبا فما حصدتم فذروه في سنبله إلا قليلا مما تأكلون ثم يأتي من بعد ذلك سبع شداد يأكل ما قدمتم لهن إلا قليلا مما تحصنون ثم يأتي من بعد ذلك عام فيه يغاث الناس وفيه يعصرون وقال الملك ائتوني به فلما جاءه الرسول قال ارجع إلى ربك فاسأله ما بال النسوة اللاتي قطعن أيديهن إن ربي بكيدهن عليم قال ما خطبكن إذ راودتن يوسف عن نفسه قلن حاش لله ما علمنا عليه من سوء قالت امرأة العزيز الآن حصحص الحق أنا راودته عن نفسه وإنه لمن الصادقين ذلك ليعلم أني لم أخنه بالغيب وأن الله لا يهدي كيد الخائنين.
بارك الله فيكم جزاكم الله خيرا. Thank you very much, Hafiz Bilal, for gracing us with your recitation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah reward you. And as I was saying earlier in the beginning of the broadcast, mashallah, these are the products that are being produced at the Qalam Seminary, spread out all throughout the country. Not only are we working to bring you educational resources, but we're preparing people who will serve our communities all around the country. Brilliant men and women, as you just heard tonight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. May Allah accept them. And we ask that Allah accepts our efforts. And we ask that you also support our efforts by going to supportqalam.com. Jazakum Allah khairan. And I'll see you in Usul al-Fiqh class tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Before we conclude, inshallah, I wanted to also thank each and every single one of you for tuning in every day, multiple times a day and every night for this particular program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless y'all. May Allah reward y'all. I also wanted to thank y'all for your patience with me particularly, because sometimes it takes a little longer than I anticipated, and I appreciate your patience in that regard. We're very grateful to have you on the program with us every single night. So inshallah, I know that it's getting late for many of you. So anyone who it's getting kind of late for and needs to go, we bid you adieu and we say, you know, salam and jazakum Allah khairan, barakallahu fikum for tuning in. I will, however, because I got nowhere else to go, so I will take the opportunity to share a couple of closing reflections here, but I definitely understand we're over time and it's a little bit late. So if you need to go, that's definitely understandable. So let's go ahead and just talk about some of the concluding lessons here. First and foremost, I wanted to highlight in Surah Hud, when Allah is telling us about the story of the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, he says a couple of things that really struck me and really intrigued me. Number one, he says that, Ya qawmi, ara'aytum in kuntu ala bayyinatin min Rabbi, wa razaqani minhu rizqan hasana. Do you not think about the fact that what if I am telling you the truth and I have proof from my Lord and I have a beautiful provision from my Lord? وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ. And I would never ever dare contradict the advice that I'm giving you. That's a very important quality that all the prophets of God possessed, that they led by example. They never contradicted their own advice. They didn't say one thing and then do something else. In fact, Allah calls out that trait and attribute in the Quran as a terrible quality of terrible people. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you say that which you do not do yourself? أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. You tell people to be righteous and then you don't do it yourself? Let us all always make an effort. That doesn't mean we stop saying good things to people. It just means we need to start doing good things while continuing to tell people good things. And then he says, in uridu illa lislaha, I only want what's good for you. I only want to help repair and better the situation, and mustata'tu, to the best of my ability. And then he says a very powerful thing that is a statement that we should always keep in mind, wa ma tawfiqi illa billah. My guidance, my ability to do any type of good that I do only and solely comes from Allah. Everything is from Allah. And that's very beautiful. That's very powerful. We should always keep that in mind, no matter what good deed we're able to do. If we go to hhrd.org and we donate and we sponsor orphans and we feed people, if you go to supportqalam.com and you sponsor Islamic education and Islamic students, that's a great good deed. But always remember to give the credit to Allah. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. My ability. We just read a whole juz right now. We only did that because Allah allowed us to do that. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. Only upon Him do I rely, and to Him do I turn with my heart. The second piece of advice in closing that I wanted to offer here is a beautiful verse from Surah Hud, two verses to be precise, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's one part of it that I really wanted to focus on, and that is the part where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us right here. Look, I talked about this earlier, that each and every single one of us makes mistakes. None of us is perfect. None of us is perfect. All of us make mistakes. To err is human. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to repent and to seek forgiveness from our Lord. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us that a way to make up for the wrong that we have done is إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Good deeds remove and erase sins. Look, we're going to make mistakes. We're human beings. But every time we make a mistake, we say that we're sorry, we repent to Allah, we ask Allah for forgiveness, and then follow it up with a good deed. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَاتْبَعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُوهَا. Follow every sin with good, and it will remove the effects of the evil that you committed. And then the third piece of advice in closing that I wanted to share here from the Quran, and this is a little bit of something to think about. It's the very beginning of Surah Yusuf. Alif Lam Ra. Tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. These are the verses of the very clear book. Inna anzalnahu. Indeed, we have sent it down. Qur'anan as a Qur'an, Arabiyan. Arabiyan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, we have sent it down as a Qur'an in the Arabic language, la'allakum ta'aqilun, so that you may think about it, understand it, ponder it, and reflect upon it. And I wanted to use this moment. We at Qalam have a commitment to teaching people the meaning and the message of the Qur'an. Whatever means that may be possible through. We are here reciting the Quran, scrolling through the translation, talking about the meaning. Everyone needs to understand the Quran. But one goal that I'd like everyone to set for themselves is to start learning the Arabic language, the Quranic Arabic language. And I know that seems daunting. How do I learn a whole language? I have a very simple task. Pick out 3, 4, 5 vocabulary words that we came across today. All right? Tawfiq means ability. Tawakkaltu means I put my trust and faith. Hasanat means good deeds. Sayyat means bad deeds. There you go. 4 words. Pick up 3, 4 words from the translation that we covered today. Write them down in a notebook and the meaning of them. And every day in Ramadan, if you learn 5 words from every juz, by the end of Ramadan, you've compiled a vocabulary list of the Quran of 150 words. And you will start to slowly but steadily understand the message of the Quran. It's doable, it's practical. And it's all of our teachers and our Arabic instructor at Qalam, full-time Arabic instructor who teaches the full-time students, who teaches Arabic online, his life is teaching the language of the Quran. He is a non-Arab who is the child of non-Arabs, born and raised in this country. But he teaches Arabic to hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of people. That is possible. Through the guidance and the ability and the tawfiq of Allah, as we read, and a little bit of effort on our part. So start making it a goal and start learning some vocabulary of the Quran this Ramadan. In closing, this is not typical for me, but earlier today, right around iftar time, I learned about the passing of two people that I know personally. First and foremost, an elder of our community here in the DFW Metroplex, Dr. Farooq. He passed away earlier today. He was a very old resident of this community, a pioneer of our community, and a very old friend of my parents. It's a bit selfish on my part, but I ask you to remember him in your dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannat al-Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for his family. And secondly, at iftar time, I found out about the passing of the wife. Young, very, very young person. The passing of the wife of one of our students and our friends, Abdul Rashid. His wife passed away very young, leaves behind very small children, babies. Please make dua for them, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her Jannatul Firdaus, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for their family. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive and enter into Jannatul Firdaus and count as martyrs everyone who has passed around the world, everyone who is sick. May Allah grant them health and well-being. May Allah protect each and every single one of us and our family members and our friends and our community members. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.